It's rather worrying that there is a Samsung expensive looking phone perched on the end of somewhere that I might not be stuck.
It's quite old.
I'll try not to. And it's becoming a very interesting life as a preacher, because technology is taking over. Now you have to deal with these things and these things and these. That's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. It's great to be here and back again. Toby and I were thinking about, Theo was saying, how long ago was it here that we were last? Well, actually, I did come, about 18 months ago when you were on a holiday. I think so, didn't I? If I remember rightly, I did. But my memory's getting a bit slack, so. I wasn't sure whether it was good to be first or last being asked. It could be that, well, we'll have to have him, so put him on at the end. Then I heard about the first two and what happened last week, and thinking it was certainly Jonathan put him on at the end. But also, it's great to be here. And I thought it'd be good just to say, first off, for those that don't know me, my name is Jonathan. We lived in Ripley for 3 years. I managed to cause total chaos in this church for 3 years and then left and left you all to it. My memory still lagers on because chocolate biscuits adorn. I was famous for eating all the chocolate biscuits in the kitchen. And just to Kath to always have a bit of fun, because I don't like dark chocolate, so she'd sneak the dark chocolate ones in there just for a bit of humour. And and it's great to be back. As I say, it's always good to be back here. It feels like it's part of our home, our Christian walk, and our Christian part of our life. I left here to go, for those who don't know, to go and be vicar in Clay Cross. I can honestly say the church building in Clay Cross, on a day like today, it would be 6 degrees to 7 degrees. It was absolutely freezing. If you don't believe me, ask Kevin. Kevin did some organs for some, didn't you, Kevin? And it was a cold church. So it's nice to be warm. And I felt that God, Susie and I felt that God was calling us out of the church, because I was wrestling with mission. I was wrestling with, what is it to be in church but to be in mission? And I was wrestling with the whole fact that I spent most of my time dealing with the sheep in church and not a lot of it going out to the lost. And I read passages like we read in Scripture, and I wrestled, and God said, Jonathan, take some time to go and find out what it is to do that. And we came back from a New Wine conference, and I said to Susie, I just believe God's calling us to do something different. And I said to her, the problem is that might mean that we're going to move on, leave. And we had a discussion, and you know when you've got a great wife, because she said, don't worry, I'll get a job. It's like, come on. I'm a winner. So we left Clay Cross, and I didn't have a job. And Susie, this is a miracle of God, isn't it? Because Susie went for her first interview in 10 years, because we've been, what was it, 10 years? Bringing up the children and moving around, and she went to the Trussell Trust, the food bank that they were recruiting, and she got an interview and got the first job within a month of me, as I was saying this. God was in it. And so we moved back to Wheaton, where my parents' house is. My parents were in home back that time, and we moved back there because we had nowhere else to live, because when you're a vicar you get a house, and our house is in Glossop, and anyway, it's a long story. But anyway, so we did that. And then, out of the blue, Dorothy Whitaker said to me, can we have a chat if you're leaving? Would you like to come and do some work at Valley Kids? I was like, well, I'll think about it. So I spent a lot of time thinking and wondering, and is this God, what God's calling me to? And here I am. And this morning, I wanted to, two things really this morning. I said to John, I wanted to do was, one, tell you about Valley Kids, but also to talk to you in person, as I believe that, you know, the wonderful thing about God, not the wonderful thing about Tim, the wonderful thing about God, is that
God's a wonderful thing.
And God's a wonderful thing. God speaks to us today. Just think for a moment. Has God spoken to you this week? If he has, then just say thank you to him right now. In your heart. If he hasn't, say, hey, oh God, it's about time you talk to me next week. Give me some words. You don't have to use my language, of course. I'm now a broad Derbyshire lad because I come up from the high peak. But you can say, Lord, just, you know, so often we flower it up, don't we? Oh, Lord, please would you speak to me next week? Just say, God, speak to me. I need to hear what you're saying. And I believe God's given me a message for you as a church this week. For those of you who know, Valley Kids started in this area in Swanwick with one shop, one youth worker, in the year 2000. It was lovely to be here. Just aside, it was lovely to be here for this week for with Jane and to sit here, because it was lovely to think and hear that Bob and Jen from this church have been a deep part of Valley Kids. And it was just special, because actually it's really good to see how the body of Christ and the mission of the church, because I believe that Valley Kids is a church, and the mission of the church work together, and how closely we work. That started, we now deliver, I was trying to work this out, we have some various arguments in Valley Kids about this, but we now go to 80 schools in and around Derbyshire. Particularly down this area of the coal mining area, of the ex-coal mining area, 80 schools. And we deliver the Christian message to 13,000 children in our community. Now, I love that. I love it. We also have three youth centres, one which is in here in Ripley, as we all know, and we deliver to 600 young people. And I'm going to tell you some stories, because actually that's what it's about really for me, testimony. Story, story, story. But just to give you the facts. So our quest team has four workers, and they're very predominantly Christian. We go to based work, go into all these schools. Why Pentecost? Why Christmas? Do you know what? Here's a story for you. So Jenny, if you know Jenny Whittaker, she's fantastic. She's into a school, and they say to her, what do you do why Pentecost? You've done why Christmas and why Easter. What do you do why Pentecost? Now Jenny, like me, is a bit charismatic. And she said, do you know what Pentecost is about? Well, not a Christian school, sort of. Are you sure you'd like us to deliver on why Pentecost? Yes! So we did. She goes in and does why Pentecost. Can you imagine the school she had round, and as they're doing why Pentecost, she had teachers praying for kids, and kids for teachers, and kids for PAs and TAs. Because actually, when you do Pentecost, you can't go do the Holy Spirit, have you? And so it straight away, God is working. We go and do discovery clubs. Now, discovery clubs are like after-school clubs, but they're different. They're actually like a church. They're actually our church. And it may be that you're sitting here today thinking, we don't have a lot of children. But I'm going to tell you that within spitting distance of this church, there are after-school clubs that children flock to. In fact, I'm going to one where 40 kids go to every week, and it's church for them. For some bizarre reason, I get asked to do weird things. I'm taking an Indian bishop to Ripley Junior School. I'm not quite sure how that happens, but it does. To see 40 kids learning about Jesus. And this is what they say. A little girl comes to Blackwell to investigate, which is an after school club. She came up to one of the workers and said very loudly, I believe in God. My daddy doesn't. He says God isn't real, but I believe he is. I love to listen to the story you tell us at Investigate Club, and they help me to believe that God is real. I know he's real. I was in a club with Jenny, and in the playground, and a young girl, and this was in June. Remember June? Who can remember June? It's that one month of the year where it's warmer than 10 degrees, but colder than 17. And if you're lucky, it might just top 17 and a half degrees. It's that June day where actually you go into a... And this Jenny said to me, this young girl, and I had a... And I don't know how old she was, but she was this high. And Jenny said to me, just tell Jonathan what it is that you've learned through in the clubs. And she told me two verses of scriptures. Two. Now, me being a Muppet and having a bad memory, it's okay, I inherited it, so I'm okay to say that. I can't remember those two verses. I know one that was in Jeremiah. And she told me them. And I went, but I am very smart, as you all know. And I said to her, thinking I was clever, because I thought, well, she'd just come out from a club. I bet she learnt them this morning. I said, so when did you learn those? Here's a quiz for you. When did she learn those verses? Now, it's in June, remember, warm June. When do you think she learnt those verses? This is not a rhetorical question. As you know, I do dialogue preaching. If you don't speak, we will stand here, or I will stand here for a long time. March. Thank you, Jen. March. No, before March. Pardon?
October.
Not quite October. That was very bad.
Christmas.
Christmas. January. She said, I learnt these verses in January when we came back to school. Now, you're not telling me that a girl this high who learns the scriptures off by heart and knows them 6 months later is not going to be affected for the rest of her life. And it may be that she's 16, 20. It may be that she follows Jesus all the way through. But that is having what I would say, that's not hiding the secrets of God. That's empowering our young people and children to do that. That's happening. Sorry, I was having a slurp of hot water. That's happening across our county and into Nottinghamshire. I've got so many. A Monday school juniors today, prayers, a young girl said, please help me make good choices and help me not to be foolish. And that was in the response to them learning about the wise and the foolish builder. A young girl. I'd like to read you this one. This is from Emma, one of our workers. I recently had a phone conversation with the mother of a little boy who is autistic. He comes to one of our after-school clubs. The little boy has been coming for 3 years, and Mum said Discovery Club is the only club he has been fully accepted and able to join in properly. When he first came, Mum was unsure if he would be able to cope, but he loves it and is flourishing. Mum went on to say that when he takes home what he has made, they look up the Bible story on the internet and read it again and find out all about it and even look for additional activities which he can do at home. This is a whole family experience. Praise the Lord, even more so that a family who does not usually attend church is learning about how, isn't that song, how big is that, how God, isn't that amazing? A family. What I've learned is, over these years, what I've come over the last 5 years, I've learned is that God moves in so many ways in his creation, in his world, and how marvellous that is. I'm trying to move on because otherwise I can talk for hours, as you know. We've got a nursery. We were given a nursery by another charity in Chesterfield, and it's run on Christian ethos and values. And we've just started sending a young children's team in there. And these kids, at first, they were a bit like, "What's going on?" But now, they run out of this time, scamps we call it. And they run back in, and you know what they say? They're saying to the staff, we want to sing those songs that we sing with scamps. So actually the youngsters are leading the adults. And this is not an uncommon theme. The reason I am here today is because my sister, at the age of 12, I don't know if you've noticed, I can't remember if I told you, probably did, but it's a long time ago if I did. The sister, at the age of 12, was going to a convent school. And through the nuns, the Catholic nuns, my sister became a Christian. And my mum was an atheist, agnostic, Buddhist, anythingist she could find. But she was on the point of saying, if something doesn't happen, I'm out of here. And my sister was praying for her. And through the prayer of my sister, my mum became a Christian. And those of you, and I know some of you who knew my mum, knew what that meant. She didn't become a namby-pamby Christian. She became the Christian that got chucked out of Sainsbury's cafe for telling about Jesus too much and somebody took offence. She probably did offend them, but actually, the heart of it is that my mum became a Christian, I became a Christian, my sister became a Christian, my sister was a Christian, my dad became a Christian. I married into a Christian family. We have become a Christian. My sister did. My children, I hope, grow up to know Jesus. I became a minister, all because the prayer of a 12-year-old. Not the prayer, who knows, but a prayer of a 12-year-old. Changed their life. That's exciting. Now, our ministry in young people is different. We have Christian ethos and values. But the young people in our that we deal with in Blend, and I know this, we wrestle with this as a church, what is Blend about? But you know what Blend is about, and I love it. In Acts, it talks about going to the ends of the earth, doesn't it? It talks about going from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. And the ends of the earth, look, friends, brothers and sisters, are young people out there in our communities that are distraught. They're abused. They're locked up in our towns. They're locked up for 2 years in a house. They're doing drugs. They're put on the streets. They're just told to go out and not come back. They're abused by people that shouldn't abuse them. And they're chucked out of school because of it. They've got learning difficulties. And they're put into a box in school. And I love schools, don't get me wrong. But they're put into a box. And if they don't fit in the box, they then rebel. And I know this because my nephew suffers from this. And they rebel. And where do they go? Well, in our community, we're thankful because we've got a Blend. They can go there, 600 young people. They can drop in, but it's much more than that. We do work with them one-to-ones. We go down to the farm at Turner Farm, which you know about, and they're offering help and support. And you know what's lovely? A lad comes in or a girl comes in, and they're down at the farm, and they've abused, they just can't get on with it. And they just get it, they're angry. Some of them throw forks around. And they're angry. And they hate maths. And they hate English. And actually, that rings a bell. And they're struggling. And you know what? They have to feed the pigs. If I give you a bag of food, and it weighs a kilo, and you have to feed a pig 300 grams, how much does your bag weigh after? So you're all thinking, all right. If the instructions of that are on the bag, how do you find out how much you have to feed the pig? You have to read the bag. You have to understand, you have to start reading. And if you can't read, and you're at school, you've rebelled. If you can't do maths, and you hate maths, but all of a sudden this pig needs 300 grams, and you've got to weigh it out, all of a sudden you're doing maths and English, but in a way that you can understand it, in a way that relates. And that's not to decry our education system, it's just the truth of the matter. Do you know what? I've just realised I've not used any of that PowerPoint. That's stuff it. There you go. Through our Blend, we met Cody. He was Penny. This is what he writes. This is what he writes, and it was in the paper. Penniless, hungry, and facing homelessness, Cody's life at 18-19 was incredibly tough. This is local, folks. This is not. This is local. Sometimes he would use food banks just to eat. Susie knows about that. He wasn't reckless with his money, and he wasn't, or in trouble with the law. Life was tough. He said of himself, I was lonely, depressed, and had lots of problems, having no routine in life and living in sheltered accommodation. Then he heard of the Blend Youth Project, and now the doors opened to him. Our doors opened. In his stress and his difficulties, and all his baggage, gradually, and with much hard work from everyone, including Cody, a better life road emerged. He learned how to make planters out of pallets and enjoyed woodwork. In fact, I think somebody here might have met him. A talent he never knew about, and that he made him proud and valued rather than worthless and useless. He enjoyed working as a team, and family relationships improved. His story was printed in the Derby Telegraph, and he is quoted, I also completed a qualification, and that meant I could enhance my CV. So many people have helped me. Their acts of kindness have transformed my life. Cody has now left us and moved on, but through the work of Blend, his aspirations were raised and his potential released. That's one of our slogans, to raise aspirations and release the potential of our young people. We deal with older people. Have you ever noticed, I'm getting to that age now, where if young people are approaching you in a group on the road, you sometimes go, and you're thinking, God, blimey. And one of the problems in our communities is that older people and younger people struggle. So we bring them together. So of our over 50s forum, which I can join after August, when young people are in groups. Sorry, I just came around. When young people, if I tell my birthday then, I've got lots of cards actually, can't I? August the 8th, 8/8/67, I was born. Cards and chocolates, well pleased are to all send to. When young people are in groups, we get a bit nervous. This is an older person. But since we have mixed with them, we have become less nervous. We see them as individuals rather than a group. We have had games afternoons, cooked together, visited Blend. We've worked with graffiti artists, and they showed us how to use our tablets. One of the... Not the prize. Lord, give me strength. The amazing thing is, this guy who wrote this, actually, he had quite a lot of animosity. It's a big word, that. Animosity against the Blend Project. He thought that anything that was youth, or if it was with trouble, is going to bring grief to the neighbourhood, is going to bring whatever, and actually, he now goes. And you know, he actually went and brought dominoes in and played dominoes with him. And he was amazed. You know what he did? He went home and bought a set of dominoes for them and brought it in so he could play. Bringing young people, bringing people together. There's lots of stats of it, but one of the things that I love is that young people who are involved in projects, their lives are changed. And it keeps them out, so many of them say it's kept them out of problems with crime, drugs, law, alcohol. It's given them somewhere safe to go. We were at the farm, I know there was a carol service, it was our party. We went up to the farm, we had a carol service. We had a party and we had some young people. And one girl who was 18 said, you know, we said, what has Blend brought you? And she just said these two words, and they will live with me forever. I'm safe. I know some of that girl's history. I'm safe. Don't our young people deserve to be safe? Thank you for you and your support. That all is happening. Now, one of the amazing, crazy things that I've had, just to come to change it slightly now as well, so I don't believe that our lighthouse shops are just shops. I believe they're churches, they're communities, they're places where we meet. We started off in chaplains. We've now got 8 shops. With chaplains. I'm going to chaplains today, tomorrow, and I'm taking somebody else. So one of the things that I'm asking, if you ever want to volunteer and you don't volunteer in the shop, you can become a chaplain. What does a chaplain do? He or she just goes and listens. They go and listen. We started a prayer cafe. We've done prayer cafes in our shops so that people who use our shops can come in to do, can have some prayer. We see our volunteers as people that need to be treasured and helped. I haven't got time to. I won't. But I've got a story of Mooney, who is. I'll briefly tell you. He's an immigrant, and he's in Hucknall, and he's walking down the street, and he's got nothing to do, and he walks past our shop, the Lighthouse shop, and he says, "That's a lovely shop. I'd like to be part of it." And this is what he says, and he writes it. He says, "But I'm a Muslim, and that's a Christian charity shop. Will they want me? Will they allow me?" You know, all this stuff that's in the news at the moment, they don't tell you this stuff, do they? That's how he feels. And he went in and he said, "Can I come and volunteer? But I'm a Muslim." And you know what they said? "Come in, it's welcome, it's all fine." And he now talks about the shop being a home. He's got an English mum that helped him. It's helped him with his English. He's got a job, but he still volunteers. And his friends who say to him, "Why do you volunteer?" And he said, "Because actually it's worth giving some of my time to help people." Isn't that fantastic? You know what, I don't know who wears a cross around their neck. I do. Do you know, for the first 700, 800 years, Christians didn't wear crosses round their necks. Do you know what was the symbol that you were a Christian? Here's a guy. What?
Fish.
A fish. Well, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. It was of Jesus carrying a lamb around his neck, the lost sheep. Because the early Christians knew that what they were meant to be doing was not standing in their... Forgive me for being irreverent here. Sorry, Vicar. Not standing in their church, but getting, that's why I have to walk, but getting out and walking into the monster community, finding the lost sheep, putting them around the neck, and taking them back. That was the symbol. That was the mission symbol of the early church. And I know that as a church, you know what it is to be in mission. I know as a church... If you want to ask me some, sorry, let's do the Valley Kids bit now. If you want to ask me some questions about Valley Kids, then please do so at the end. On the table back there, there's some leaflets, and also there is a one of these, which if you fill in, then I will keep in touch with you on email and send you some crazy YouTube videos that I'm doing at the moment. And thank you. Thank you as Valley Kids. I want to say officially thank you because I work for Valley Kids. For all the support that you have been. But I also want to say to you, many years ago, this church invested very heavily in Valley Kids. And I want to say to you, I know it cost. It cost the church. But mission doesn't come cheap. Mission started with Jesus leaving his comfortableness of heaven with Phil, our kids have met. Me and Toby and Theo had an amazing conversation the week about Donald Trump and what heaven was like because he was worried about the bomb being pushed. Anyway, forget that. So God doesn't, Jesus isn't even, he's not choosing. He comes and gives everything. And the mission that has happened from this church cost you. It cost you in many ways, not just financially. It cost you in the hours that was put into it. It cost you in so many ways. But, because of that, I can stand here today, and I never thought I would be standing here today, talking to you from Valley Kids when I was here, to say that because of your faithfulness, we are reaching, not you, not us, together as a body of Christ. We are reaching out beyond our wildest dreams. Children are hearing about Jesus that will never step, potentially, foot into your church. But they're hearing about Jesus because of you. Now that is what I would say is taking the present from behind your back and saying, "Give it to them." And I want to say, not as a Valley Kids worker, but as
a brother and sister in Jesus Christ who has been part of this community. Now that's what God is saying thank you to you for. And he's saying, I believe, this is what he spoke to me this week, I believe he's saying, you know, tell them and tell them straight that without your support, without your giving, without your potential loss as a church, this might not have happened. And God is saying, thank you. Well done, brothers and sisters. Well done, my servants. I'm reading at the moment about the seven churches. And on Alpha Course, we use the man who knocks at the door, don't we? It's part of it. Please don't use it for this anymore. This is my plea. Because we use it to say, God knocks at the doors of sinners. But in the scriptures, God is knocking at the church's door, who is lukewarm, and saying, I'm outside, you're inside, get on, get out there. He's not knocking at non-Christians, he's knocking at our hearts. He's knocking at me and saying, and us as a church, and saying, you're lukewarm, I'm out there, what are you doing inside? And I believe that God's saying to you this today, through me, that what you did years ago was actually to answer that knock and do something. And praise the Lord for that. That is a fantastic story. I now do something crazy. I now ask good news stories. I have got a file full of good news stories. I want to pray for you. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're a God that speaks to us today, as you did thousands of years ago. I want to thank you for this church. I want to thank you for the support that they have given to Valley Kids from the year it was conceived. And now we're not hiding from the next generation, the amazing God that you are. But we are reaching out to 13,000 to 14,000 children and to families, to volunteers, to people at the ends of the earth and saying, God loves you. God loves you. And I want to pray a blessing on this church. I want to pray, Lord Jesus, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that what they have given, they will receive in multiple times. I want to pray, Lord, that this church will be a church that in the community of Ripley will be somewhere where people go because they know that there is something happening there. There is something different. There is a hope. There is a purpose. There is a perseverance. And I want to pray that the Holy Spirit comes and anoints people in this church for new gifts, for things to do that will actually continue the good and praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. And that through this church, Lord, that we will hear stories that are amazing, because we will not be a church that is sat inside whilst you are knocking at the door. But we will be out there with you, working with you, walking with you, talking with you, and bringing the good news of Jesus. So I pray a mighty blessing on you and all of you this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen.